Hello, everybody, and welcome to Policy Matters. This is Eric Allen, and I'm joined with my co-host and cohort.
Hi, everyone. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It is today, Tuesday, the 19th. I hope everybody had a good St. Patrick's Day and didn't drink yourself under a table with green beer. But it was a beautiful weekend.
It was. And Eric, I have to tell you that my son celebrated his 18th birthday yesterday. We thought we were going to have a St. Patty's baby, but, you know, first one, it takes a long time. So he came the next day.
They come when they want to come. So
they come when they want to come. So we celebrated Gavin turning 18. And I have, of course, started the process of he's registered to vote and ready to go. And he announced formally that he is going to Tech starting this summer. So we'll have a Georgia Tech student in our house.
Another yellow jacket. There you go. That's
there you go.
That's a good choice. And he'll be close enough to home, but not so far that he don't have independence. So you know,
yes,
it'll be good.
He is worried that I'm going to be up in his business a bit, but I'm going to be good. I'm just crazy about my kids. So I love that he's not going too far.
Well, I think most people would feel that way. I know I would feel the same way about Elise going off to college. I would hope she stays close, but you know, who knows?
Who knows?
But well, we are, if you look at the calendar, we are winding down the legislative session here in Georgia. We've got four more legislative days. As we said, today is Tuesday. It's a recess day for committees. And then there are two more voting days this week, Wednesday and Thursday. And then we get into next week where it's Monday and Wednesday. I believe it's sine die. So we are a week away from all of this being over, Nicole. And there's
so much nonsense.
So much to watch out for. So let's just highlight a couple.
What's happened to our dismay? Right. Let's talk about what's passed, Eric. And that is the school voucher bill, which I was really optimistic that it would die this session. And you were saying that based on what you were looking at, it only passed by a vote.
It passed by one vote. And if you recall, last year, it did not get the votes it needed. It died, even though the governor was putting pressure. And this year, I guess they were able to find a couple of more people to put pressure to because it only passed with one vote. There's 180 members in the House. The 91 is the constitutional majority, and it got 91 votes. A handful of Republicans voted against it again. It's an unfortunate bill to move forward. We know the governor will sign it because he had already signaled that last year if it had passed, he would have signed it. So now I guess we just have to recalibrate ourselves to start thinking about what our voucher world looks like for public education.
So a parent's income for this can't exceed 400% of the federal poverty level or around $120,000 for a family of four. There's nothing good about this. It's $6,500 per year. And you and I have talked about this at length.
Yeah.
I don't know of any private schools that could be covered by $6,500
a year. Well, let me just tell you, in Metro Atlanta, if you are a family of four with $120,000, you are not $6,500 away from any of the private schools in the Metro Atlanta area.
Yes.
It is not going to be helpful whatsoever. What would be helpful is to take that money and reinvest it into our public schools to make sure they have the resources, the staffing, and the development in order to serve our kids at a better rate.
We've talked about this over and over again.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I don't think we need to beat this horse. It's awful. It's awful. But I'm putting this on the list of things that I hope we can undo when Democrats get control of the General Assembly, which, you know, it won't be this year, but in the next 8 to 10 years, we may very well get control.
We're gonna switch the conversation in a couple of weeks to campaigns, but we need not only to flip the legislature, but we need a governor who will sign legislation that will we'll do it. But honestly, Nicole, I think this is something we've got to watch, because with all of these bills, they'll have to be audit reports. We won't get one next year. We'll get one the year after it takes effect. But I'll tell you, I'm skeptical that there's going to be any takers. Not any. There'll be some. But it'll be interesting to see what takers of this money, happens, or what it's going to create. This is the last thing I'll say before we do it, is how many people are going to lie about their income or do other things to try to get to that threshold so they can then get the $6,500. It'll just become a shell game, and those that have more. Those that need the help will not get it. Now, an interesting twist that I heard talking to somebody about this is they felt it would be better spent if the bill, and any Democrat in the legislature listening, because I haven't talked to anybody about it yet, but if this $6,500 could be used for supplemental education, not just for private schools, meaning if you needed to get additional support for your child at a Sylvan Learning Center, a Kumon, or anything like that, use the money for the supplemental learning, not necessarily to pull them out and put them into another school. That is a phenomenal idea, and
that's
that somebody's listening.
That's a really interesting idea. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because people who are in schools and their kids need additional supports, putting them in a private school may not solve the problem that you think it will solve. But providing supplemental learning care, and I'll tell you that there are a lot of private school students who are also getting supplemental learning care, because it's not the solution just to change schools all the time. But anyway, so that's one thing, Nicole, that went out that was that was really bad. Something else that passed, that's only passed one chamber, but we have to look out for, is the library bill passed the Senate.
And this makes me crazy. So to give context, go ahead and explain what the library bill is.
Well, it's out in a nutshell. It basically removes or has libraries not be able to participate in the American Library Association, which to me is a slippery slope of now being able to try and ban books in public libraries and reach outside of what was going on in schools. That's the essence of the bill.
And it's like telling attorneys that they can't be a member of the Georgia bar. Like, it's ridiculous. And this was brought about by Republicans after the leader of the American Library Association made some questionable tweets. And it's really just them responding as retaliation for a tweet. And I love that Syra Draper put in her weekly newsletter that policy as retaliation is no way to govern. And I think that says it so well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this will actually
pass? It's sad, but this is so two things. One, I'm not sure if it'll pass, but if it does, I'm skeptical the governor will sign it. So I think it's got a couple of hurdles left. But once again, we're at the hour mm-hmm. where we're running out of time, and we're just mm-hmm. not sure what they're going to have time to pass. Because once again, you got three legislative days, because the budget still hadn't been passed. But you've got 3 days to debate something and pass it, which I guarantee you will take up about 2.5 hours on the floor of the House to debate. So this is something that's going to be extremely difficult to squeeze in the amount of time that's left. I just don't think that it's a big priority. And there are so many other little departmental bills and cleanup things that have to be done that they're only going to be able to bite off a couple, maybe one or two of these last contentious bills to debate before the clock runs out.
Let's talk about one of the ones that you and I are kind of most upset about, because it's taking a really good bill and making it crappy. So I'll let you, it's House Bill 1170.
1170.
Which they tacked on. The point of 1170 was to place, was it Narcan in public buildings?
Mm-hmm.
In public buildings to help save lives.
Yeah, Narcan is a drug. It's taken nasally to reverse the effects of an overdose from opioids. And with all of the overdose deaths, it's, you know, ironic that, you know, we've got the two things that Republicans can't stop screaming is the border and fentanyl. And here you have a bill that will help those in crisis with a pending overdose. And they tack onto it legislation that just doubles down on their LGBTQ hate. So language has been added to the bill to basically it's not a copy of the previous hormone therapy bill, but what it does is an extension and makes it what they believe more palatable to the court so that there are no blocks in implementing any of the hormone therapy legislation. So it's a horrible bill, Nicole, and once again an attack on a community.
So just to remind people, last year there was a bill passed that banned most gender-affirming surgeries and hormone replacement therapy for transgender people under 18. But that bill let doctors continue prescribing puberty blockers to minors who are already receiving them. So that's why we're saying it's an extension, because now they're saying, no, even if you were receiving puberty blockers, we're not going to let you anymore. And this is the part of legislating that makes me crazy when they just tag things on. It makes a good bill bad. So
a little bit of process, that's what they count on. I mean, this bill passed overwhelmingly. I think it was 166-1 in the House. And so if you're not watching carefully, now you're looking at the bill and going, why are people complaining about this bill? You know, it's overwhelmingly supported in the House. Well, it's a completely different bill now than it was when they voted 166-1.
Yeah.
It has language in it that's completely horrible. And that's why, just as a public service announcement, with election season coming up, be careful when people tell you that this legislator voted for this bill and they throw out a bill number. Because a lot of times it's a little deceiving, because let's just say this bill gets all the way through the process and becomes law, which we hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
Then I guarantee you there will be primary opponents attacking Democrats saying they voted for this bill and that it could not be further from the truth. So be very careful. That's just a public service announcement. But back to the bill. So one of the things, Nicole, that I think is two things that I hope can happen over the next couple of days. Number one, I think there are other bills that the Narcan language can be attached to, so stripping it and moving it.
Yeah.
So that it can survive and become law, because I think that is good policy.
Yeah.
It's good politics and it's good policy. But my fear is, because this language has been added to it, it's going to die. I doubt it ever comes up for a vote in the Senate. And even if it did, I would be very shocked if the Speaker of the House called it for an agree-disagree, which is the next part of the process. Once a bill has been amended in one chamber, it comes back and there's a vote for an agree-disagree. Because just as much as the language ended up on this bill for political primary reasons will be why the Speaker doesn't want his members to take a vote on this.
Yeah.
So it's just a nasty bill. And what I mean by that is the author of this bill basically introduced it right after he picked up a far right challenger in a primary. So as a Republican, he thought, well, I've got to get my crazy right wing street cred. So he drops this bill so he can have something to run on against someone who's primarying him for the far right. So it's political gamesmanship, Nicole. It's what we expect in an election year in the last week of session, but we have to stay vigilant. I know there are a ton of organizations that are speaking out against this bill. There's a lot of pressure on the Speaker and the governor to kill it. But as we sit right now, it is still waiting. It passed out of committee and it is waiting to be called for a vote by Senate rules. So we got to pay attention to it.
So our last bill, Eric, is the Certificate of Need bill. And this is one that we had hoped that this would create a pathway for Medicaid expansion.
Well, we were promised. It was all but promised that if this bill moved forward, that they would use Medicaid expansion as a sweetener to get Dems to vote for it. And I think we can see by the reaction of the Democratic caucus that without that sweetener, it's going to be hard to get a Dem to vote for this certificate of need.
And so you and I talked about this. It will get passed without Medicaid expansion, but Democrats in the Senate are saying that they are voting en masse no. And when we talked, they're voting en masse no, so it can't be claimed as a bipartisan bill.
Correct. Yeah. So there, once again, this is all the politics at play. Yeah. But, you know, Dems will be able to stay and keep the narrative of, you know what, Republicans crammed this down our throat. We didn't support it. It's on them. And you know, one of the things that, you know, is in the bill is there, you know, the certificate of need is basically what governs, where hospitals or surgical centers or anything healthcare can be open. So it basically says you have to prove and certify that there is a need for this service in this area. That's what the certificate of need is. And it's really held at bay a lot of the damaging competition that you see in other states with healthcare clinics all opening up in the same area and offering the same services. It's what governs, you know, right now there's only one Cancer Treatment Centers of America, or what the City of Hope now is what they call, instead of those popping up on every corner in every city. So the certificate of need is important. And I agree, it could be rewritten to give more flexibility in the healthcare market space. But this particular certificate of need is basically only being pushed so that the lieutenant governor can build the hospital on his father's land. this bill is for one person to do one thing. And what they're doing to confuse people is saying that it also will allow Morehouse School of Medicine to open and operate a teaching hospital. However, there are no state funds attached to that. So the haul or the lift of the effort for Morehouse School of Medicine to be able to open up its own teaching hospital is humongous.
Yeah.
And we'll probably never see the light of day, but Daddy Lieutenant Governor's hospital will likely be built within a matter of years of this bill passing. So no Medicaid expansion, primarily serving one person and trying to get people to vote on it because of the Morehouse School of Medicine. It's politics at its finest.
It's just so disappointing that we are in the same place with Medicaid expansion, and I don't understand it. It's not only people's health, but it's also that money is money that we are paying to the federal government that we are just kissing goodbye.
Oh,
and it's money that if we had Medicaid expansion would have an impact on our economy, would significantly strengthen Georgia's economy. But it's politics is killing all of the good things that could come with the righteous indignation of, no, we're not going to do this.
Well, so if we wanted to really scream about fiscal irresponsibility, this would be the bill to do it, because you could cover an additional 500,000 Georgians and pay $0.
Yep.
$0. Instead, they're focused on the governor's gimmicks of different voucher systems for healthcare programs, and it's going to cost millions and millions of dollars to do that and not provide the same level of care. But there's one more thing that I want to talk about, Nicole, before we jump, is just something for people to watch. There is a bill moving through the Senate. It passed out of the House unanimously as a license plate or a driver's license bill, something that dealt with the mechanics of driver's license, passed unanimously. And in the Senate, it has been completely stripped. So none of that language that was voted on in the House is still there. But what this does is it alters, for simplicity, I'll just say it weakens the Good Samaritan issue or case for an overdose. So we talked earlier about the Narcan bill, something else that will drastically impact the recovery community, is like right now, if I'm in the same room as someone else and they are experiencing an overdose and I call 911, I am covered under the Good Samaritan law. Under this bill, I would have to be arrested, booked, and then claim amnesty or Good Samaritan and have that litigated in the courts. Now, that may not sound like a bad thing, but let me just tell you the perception that people in a crisis situation will have. If they know that by calling 911 to save their friend's life, that there is a not only likelihood, but a certainty that they will be arrested, booked, and thrown into the criminal legal system, they are less likely to make that call.
Yeah.
So this bill not only procedurally will entangle more people into the legal system, it will lead to more deaths because people will have to make that decision of whether or not they're going to call 911 and get the help that their friend needs, or if they're just going to leave them there and go home and act like it never happened and then carry the trauma of that because they could not call and get that help. So I talked to one advocate today, Nicole, and they said, well, you know, under that scenario, you may not just lose the life of the person in crisis with the overdose because of the high rates of suicide and depression and everything else. You may lose that friend who had to make the decision not to call 911. So very, very dangerous bill. I'm hoping that solid minded Republicans like a Sharon Cooper, who has been very strong in rewriting some of our 911 legislation and the protections in it. She has already spoken out against this bill. But once again, I think it's a horrible messaging bill that will be used in Republican primaries to show how tough they're being on things. But once again, if you get them on the front of a microphone, they start yelling fentanyl on the border, but they're not doing anything to help with the situation.
Yeah. That's just how they roll.
Yeah. So, well, we're going to keep vigilant. We'll be back on next week, hopefully, to recap the end of session. So maybe later in the week. But, you know, the good thing, people, is we know by Wednesday of next week, we will have a clearer picture as of what I like to call 40 days to set Georgia back 40 years. And we are we are in those 40 days, the legislature, and hopefully we'll be done next week. So,
yeah.
Anything else, Nicole, before we go?
That's all I got. That's all I got. So,
all right. Well, let's get back to watching bills because I've got a lot I need to read up on and to watch what's going on at the Capitol. And we will give you guys a full breakdown of the 2024 legislative session next time on Policy Matters.
Bye, everyone.